Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 115.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant at Arms will close the doors. Members and guests are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Warren. We'd ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Warren.
Thank you. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear us, for we are poor and needy. Dear God, thank you for your unwavering care and love for us. We are eternally grateful, Lord, that you are always our great comfort and salvation, especially in the midst of our most difficult times. Help us now, Lord, as we start another day. Remind us that when we rely on ourselves, we are, in effect, shunning you. Help us recognize the most effective ways we can serve others is with your direction. Help us focus on the immediate challenges before us to realize that we can resolve them most effectively today with your guidance, and if we do, our ambitions for tomorrow will be assured. We ask now, Father, that you strengthen and comfort those who have lost loved ones recently and those who have lost their faith. Reassure and restore us all, we pray. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for August 24th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Hall moves the journal for August 24th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Ratification of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
The roll of clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 159, an act to make technical clarifying and administrative changes to laws related to the state health plan for teachers and state employees. Senate Bill 207, an act to implement the Juvenile Justice Reinvestment Act based on legislative recommendations for the Juvenile Jurisdiction Advisory Committee and to make related changes to the Juvenile Code and to provide for an appropriate mental health assessment to be provided for juveniles who have been adjudicated delinquent. Senate Bill 300, an act to increase protection, training, and oversight for state and local law enforcement officers and to establish the bipartisan North Carolina Legislative Working Group to make recommendations for the recodification of North Carolina's criminal laws. Senate Bill 379, an act to authorize the Division of Motor Vehicles to issue an unregisterable certificate of title for certain vehicles. Senate Bill 421, an act to authorize community colleges to determine eligibility for in-state tuition for recent high school graduates meeting the certain criteria and clarify the State Board of Community Colleges election process. Senate Bill 462, an act to amend certificate of need laws to expand access to lower costs. Senate Bill 570, an act to hold harmless certain facilities when the Department of Health and Human Services resumes environment rating scale for assessment for licensed child care facilities to provide for certain other flexibilities in ERS assessment resume and to require for the Division of Child Development and Early Education to report on specified criteria. Senate Bill 693, an act to amend various abuse, neglect, and dependency laws and to provide the safe, appropriate replacement of children in need for mental health services. House Bill 650, an act to make multiple changes to motor vehicle laws. House Bill 692, an act providing certain modifications to passenger vehicles operating on highways or public vehicle areas.
Chat reels will be noted. Representative Elmore is recognized to send forth committee report. Conference report, Corker Reed.
Thank you.
President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the conferees appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 654, a bill to be entitled an act to provide relief for public schools to respond to the coronavirus disease 2019 pandemic. House Committee Substitute favorable 6921. House Committee Substitute number 2 favorable 6921. Submit the following report. The conferees recommended the Senate and House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approved report August 25th, 2021. Conferees for the Senate. Senator Ballard, Chair, Senators Lee, Davis, and Jackson. Conferees for the House of Representatives, Representative Elmore, Chair, Representatives Torbett, Sain, and Brockman.
Calendar, and without objection, day's calendar. So ordered. The gentleman from Johnston, Representative Strickland, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment and spread across the journal, and would like to be recognized to speak to the statement.
So ordered, and the gentleman's recognized to speak to the statement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to applaud the Appalachian Society of American Foresters as they celebrate their 100th anniversary this year. The Appalachian Society of American Foresters consists of more than 1,100 members from South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia, and they are one of the state societies that make up the national body known as the Society of American Foresters. In 2018, the forest sector contributed over $33.6 billion to the economy, supporting 150,000 jobs in North Carolina alone. The American Society of American Foresters' mission is to advance the science, technology, education, and practice of forestry, enhance the complexity of its members, competency of its members, establish professional excellence, use the knowledge, skills, and conversations, conservation ethics of the profession to ensure the continual health and use of forestry ecosystems and the present and future ability of forestry resources to benefit society. Additionally, the Appalachian Society of American Foresters is hosting their centennial meeting this upcoming January from the 26th through the 28th in Asheville, which is deemed our roots to inspire the next generation. Thank you to the Appalachian Society of American Foresters for all you do to help advance forestry in the region and enhance the forestry is passed on to the next generation. And as a person that individual that has a forester degree, one of my degrees, it has been very useful in the planning of tree stands, looking after trees on my farm in Johnston County, and I appreciate the all the efforts that our foresters throughout the state of North Carolina do on a daily basis. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Members, upon motion of Representative Strickland of Johnston County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Dean Myron Floyd, Ann Margaret Brom, Joan Cox, A.J. Ling, Henry Randolph, Mike Powell, and John Hatcher from the North Carolina Forestry Association. Will you all stand so we can recognize you? Members, upon motion of Speaker Tim Moore from Cleveland County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Adrienne, Anna, and Walker Hayes. Anna just celebrated her fifth birthday 2 weeks ago, and Walker will be turning two in 2 months. Will you all stand so we can recognize you? House Resolution 973, the clerk will read.
Committee on Rules, Calendar Operations of the House, House Resolution 973, a House resolution urging Congress and the President to take additional action regarding the evacuation of American troops, allied troops, and Afghan citizens from Afghanistan. General Assembly of the North Carolina acts.
Gentleman from Cleveland, Speaker Moore, is recognized to debate the resolution.
Action, Mr. Speaker. If we could send forth an amendment, we have an amendment that corrects the title. It does not reflect the body. If we could dispose of that amendment first.
Gentleman is recognized to send forth the amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Moore moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 2, by inserting between the words.
Gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Very simply, it adds the words American citizens in the title. That was supposed to be in there. As the members can see, it's in the body of the resolution, which asks that amendment be disposed of first and glad to debate the bill thereafter.
Further discussion or debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Amendment A1. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment's adopted, and the gentleman is recognized to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, we don't normally take up resolutions dealing with national or international issues, but this particular resolution is something that I've thought about quite a bit over the last few weeks, And it's something that I think that we ought to take a stand as a body. In fact, I've talked to folks on both sides of the aisle, and I suspect there's going to be unanimous support for this resolution. But I know many of you have watched and seen the images that I have on everywhere from television to online to hearing the reports of what's happening right now as we speak in Afghanistan. There are members of this body who served in Afghanistan. There are members in this body who have children who have served in Afghanistan. And the thing that kind of brought, really made me think about this was, what is the image that we as Americans are going to show to the world? And I remember well when Ed Goodwin was talking about how, for example, veterans were treated after Vietnam and the circumstances of when Saigon fell. And I just am bothered at what I'm seeing happen right now. And unless this be, I don't want this to come across as partisan at all, any criticism of the president. I think even former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton yesterday even made statements that we need to really take a second look at this hard date to withdraw and the inability for these folks to get out. We have a situation where American citizens, where soldiers for Afghanistan who fought alongside our servicemen and women are literally trying to get out of a country to save their lives. This probably impacted me just more personally. A few weeks ago, Representative Willis and I met with a gentleman who was an interpreter embedded with our troops in Afghanistan for a number of years, who now is in the U.S. And he basically told us, what, a month ago, I'd say, that he was worried this is exactly what was going to happen if there was this sudden drawdown and this sudden pullout, that he knew firsthand of folks who had served with Americans, had served with our country to fight for freedom, who are now behind enemy lines, if you will, trying to get out. We've seen some of our allies really working to get folks out, but it really requires the United States to maintain that presence until everyone is out safely. And it's about a couple of things. It's about the compassion of just doing the right thing as people for folks that we know are going to more than likely be persecuted, executed when we leave. And we can't let that happen. But what does that say going forward when we are to work with other nations and other situations in the future? This won't be the last time that we have to deal with a nation that harbored terrorists. It won't be the last time that we deal with a nation that wants to work against our interest. And folks who stand with the United States need to know that we'll have their back at all times. And what's happening right now is not showing that. We're the State House of Representatives of North Carolina. We're not in Washington. We're not international. This is a little outside our wheelhouse. But I think just as a conscientious person is something that we ought to each speak to, because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to stand up for these folks as Americans. And one more thing. Many of us know veterans who right now are saying, what was it all for? If this is the way it's going to go down at the end, what was it for? These families who've lost children, these families who've lost a mother or a dad, we're better than this as Americans. And this resolution is simply encouraging Congress and the President to take any additional action necessary to ensure that American citizens, our troops, and those who fought alongside of us that have been properly vetted are able to get out of harm's way and to find refuge in this country. America has been and will always be that shining city on a hill. We should never dim those lights. I encourage your support of this resolution today. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate on the resolution? For what purpose, the gentleman from Buncombe, Representative Ager, rise.
Thank you very much. I am the father of... The
gentleman is recognized to speak to the resolution.
Yeah, thank you. I'm the father of a soldier that fought 5 miles from Kandahar, and I asked him, how are you dealing with this moment in time? And he said the only thing he really cared about was taking care of the translators and others that helped his unit save lives in that war. I plan to vote for this resolution, But I hope when the time comes that North Carolina will welcome some of these Afghan, our fair share of these Afghan allies, partners into our state and be willing to take care of them till they can get resettled. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of House Resolution 973 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 103 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Resolution 973 is adopted and will be ordered engrossed. Senate Bill 211, the clerk will read.
Senator Newton, Senate Bill 211, a bill to be entitled Amend Water Sewer Rate Adjustment Mechanisms, General Assembly of North Carolina Annexed.
The gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you. I was going to explain the bill, and then we've got an amendment from Representative Harrison that I fully support and ask you to vote for as well. The Water and Sewer Investment Plan Mechanism is you've seen this in House Bill 219 passed this chamber. What this Water and Sewer Investment Plan, the Water SIP, is an alternative mechanism, and if approved by the Utility Commission, it authorizes investment in needed infrastructure, and it would establish a proactive process for addressing aging infrastructure and emerging water quality issues by authorizing the commission to approve a 3-year investment plan upon which water and sewer rates would be based. It benefits the customer in several ways, in these five ways. First of all, it controls cost. The water and sewer investment plan will encourage water and sewer infrastructure investments and keep rates low than they would have been otherwise by reducing the number of rate cases. Number two, it's a mechanism for planning for future needs. This allows the water and sewer investment plan will allow customers and public staff commission to review and provide input on capital and operating plans just as they do in current rate mechanism case. Caps a rate, number three, for against significant increases. Number four, it holds companies accountable in that it includes performance metrics and that are based annually on assessment of customer service requirements. And then finally, fifth, there are customer protections included in this. This legislation includes protections such as an annual plan reviews and annual refunds if the utility is not in compliance with the plan. In short, the historic or previous rate-making plan is a spend and recover plan where the utility goes out and spends the money, submits a rate case to be reimbursed and reestablished for those. This, however, water and sewer investment plan is a plan to plan out investments and operational needs, which encourages them to address infrastructure replacement and water safety and reliability issues on a proactive basis. We've been working on this bill for over 4 years, and we've developed this bill through the process with leading water utilities and the North Carolina public staff. And with that, I encourage your support. I know Representative Harrison has an amendment, and like I said, I fully agree with the amendment and on the reporting mechanism and ask for you to vote for the amendment and the bill.
Representative Harrison is recognized to send forth amendment ARI-49-V-4. The clerk will read.
Representative Harrison moves to amend the bill on page 3, lines 5 and 6, and by inserting between those lines.
Lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Chair Arp, for your work on this bill. I appreciate all the time and effort you put into it, and I understand that you work closely with the Public Utilities Commission staff to build in some guardrails that will protect these customers and consumers. y'all remember this bill. We debated it back in March, and there were some concerns about it. It was House Bill 219, the House Companion. We heard concerns about the potential rate increases because there's a 100 basis points banding, which is a little bit more than the than some folks are comfortable with, and then there's a potential for a 7.5% increase on water bills if the utility has to invest a lot of money to deal with an emergency. And there are some concerns about potential for public input because right now these are yearly hearings. But I appreciate the fact that there's a lot of discretion built in here for the Utilities Commission that have the expertise and understand how to set these, and there's good guidance in here. What this amendment does, because this will be new for us, depending on what happens to the Duke Energy bill on their multi-year rate-making proposal, but this will be new. This three-year rate-making will be new for us. This is just asking the, well, not asking, telling the Utilities Commission that they should look at how this three-year rate-making has worked, and specifically they should look at the impact on rates, the increase or decrease in water disconnections for the customers, the amount of utility earnings, under earnings and over earnings, and also potential impacts on water quality and water resources, because these are also concerns we've heard about from the customers over the years. So I appreciate that there's a potential for this to save the water customers a lot of money and the utility in a much more efficient process. So I am prepared to vote for this bill if the amendment passes, so I encourage you to support the amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Amendment A1. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill. Is there further discussion or debate on the bill? For what purpose does the gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and that's just to debate the bill.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
And unlike when we normally say this, I'm actually going to be brief. Representative Arp, Representative Harrison, I want to thank both of you for your hard work on this. This was a not contentious vote, but a split vote whenever it left the House in March. You guys did a lot of work putting this together. Thank you, Chairman Arp, for talking to Representative Harrison. Thank you, Representative Harrison, for your diligence. This is how we're supposed to be doing bills. So I think we get up a lot of times and we complain when we're not happy about a process. I want to make sure that we say good things whenever we are happy about a process. We appreciate it and look forward to voting for this bill.
For what purpose is the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Belk, rise?
To debate the bill.
The lady's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do applaud the hard work that has gone into this, because I know this is a fundamental problem that we have, infrastructure and water and sewer quality, and getting that to folks and getting that to communities across the state. There are people in my community that have had problems with dealing with how to address their concerns with the business that comes in and says, hey, listen, I know that we have to help you get water. We know you can't be hooked up. And working on this is wonderful, but there are other ways to do that. And I hope that, I think this is a good bill. I'm going to support it, but I hope that we look at this, because what happens sometimes, and especially in rural communities where they get locked into using, utilities, and then they have no way of getting out of them. And I hope this will address that, but I think there are other ways that we can look at it beyond that. And I hope that we do that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion or debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 211 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Speaker Moore, aye. Representative Hunter, does the gentleman wish to vote? Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 103 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Senate Bill 211 having passed its second reading will be read a third time.
You'll send North Carolina next.
Question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 211 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Ayes have it. Senate Bill 211 having passed its third reading will be returned to the Senate for concurrence in unengrossed amendment number one. Senate Bill 654, the clerk will read.
Senate Bill 654, Conference Committee Substitute, K-12 COVID-19 Provisions, General Assembly of North Carolina Annexed.
The gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House do concur with the Senate Bill 654 conference report, and I stand for any questions and also report briefly on it.
Gentleman's recognized to speak to the conference report.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, thank you. Some of the things the bill does, number one, I want to remind you that the bill mainly was being worked on before the budget. So some of the items that were in House Bill 654 were actually removed because there was redundancy and they are currently resting comfortably in the budget, such as some of the ESSER funding that we talked about many times on the floor. What the bill actually does now is that we had some great success working with our colleagues in the Senate. It modifies some of the provisions related to virtual instruction for 2021-22 school year. We kind of went back to what we had done last year. It requires all public school units to adopt a policy regarding the use of face coverings. Now, we're putting it on them, but they have to review it at least once every month, so it's not a long-standing or long-range item. It also changes some great things it does. It changes the licensure extension for certain teachers that had missed out on that because of COVID, and were actually being penalized. Once we found that out, we wanted to correct that. So it pushes that date back now to December 31, 2021, so any teacher that could not get their license extended because of circumstances related to COVID now has until December 31 of 2021. Also, some of the things that were impacted negatively from COVID that are incorporated into the education part is a temporary waive certain requirements that relate to driving eligibility certificates. So we also had that restored. We also restored certain driving permits and provisional licenses revoked due to certificate ineligibility. So they couldn't access it, so it was revoked. We're reinstating those. Another one that's heard a lot of conversations about is that there is currently a requirement that each student learn cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Well, they were unable to do that during COVID. So you're supposed to graduate upon having that instruction. So we waived that CPR requirement is suspended for 2021 school year. So seniors could go ahead and graduate not having received that cardiopulmonary resuscitation training. That's it. I stand for any questions, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Brockman, rise?
To briefly debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
As one of the two Democrats that was on this conference committee, I do believe this is a good compromise bill. A lot of the provisions that gave folks on my side heartburn have been taken out, so I hope you guys can support the bill. Thank you.
For what purpose, the lady from White, Representative Von Haven, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Torbett, gentleman yield.
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Representative Torbett, in the original bill, there was a provision to delay the implementation of social studies standards. Has that been removed from this bill?
That is no longer there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
A question for the bill sponsor.
Gentlemen, yield.
With great anticipation, Mr.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Torbett, I am just wondering about Part 10, local face covering policies. Is this the same language that was in Senate Bill 654 when we voted on it before, or is this revised?
I think it's been revised. We added the, I honestly don't remember what we voted on previously in 654, but we did have contact with the Senate, and the biggest hinge point was not to have just a long-standing policy, but it be consistently reviewed, as we think most policies need to be from time to time. So a 30-day, which most boards meet once a month, it gives them an opportunity to go look back and see what they want to state for the next coming month.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, question for the House, the adoption of the conference report, Senate Bill 654. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Brown, wish to vote? Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 102 having voted in the affirmative, 1 in the negative.
The House does adopt the conference report to Senate Bill 654, and the Senate will be so notified. Members, we have concluded our business for the day and for the week. We will pick back up again next week with committees that will meet. Budget conferees are on standby to be called in to discuss the state of the budget over the next few days, depending on a meeting that's going to happen this afternoon. So we're going to try to get that done. So this is where a lot of the some of the other negotiations are taking place to hopefully allow us to adjourn before the fall. So we'll see. Juan Purpose Slay from Mecklenburg. Representative Carney rise.
For point of personal privilege.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, there's something to be said about seniority in this chamber. And I think that it's important today that I recognize some of those attributes of people that have given their life to public service, literally, and their families. It's a lot of math in this credit that I want to give here today, and yes, I'm talking about my senior seatmate. Anyway, my seatmate is a favorite son of Spring Lake, North Carolina. His father and his grandfather were born there. He was born there. He's never left there. In fact, he says that I don't know how to go anywhere. Well, I beg to differ with him because I know all the places he goes. Cruises, condos in Vegas, family having condos in cities in the city, in our state. So an incredible man. But the part of the math here that to me is so telling about this incredible representative is today he celebrates 53 years of marriage to his wonderful bride, Brenda. But of those 53 years, he served 21 years here. He served 20 years on the city council in Spring Lake. He was their mayor for 3 years. So that's 49 years in public service. Of those 53 years with Brenda, that means she got him 6 years before he left home and started serving the people in Spring Lake and in the state. But during that time, that 6 years that she had him, they had 3 children, 1 son, and 2 twin daughters. They also reside in Spring Lake, and they also travel the country. So I want to tell you a little bit more about this senior member here in this chamber. He has spent 34 years in education. He had 6 years of teaching in Spring Lake. He had 27 of those were in administration. So that's 33 years. But when he retired, they gave him an extra year credit because he only missed in all those years 4 days of sick leave, of all those years serving in education. So when you hear people talk about seniority doesn't matter, I beg to differ. This man is a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of public service, and this man should be recognized today with his wife, Brenda, for 53 years of marriage and still running. Congratulations.
Congratulations. For what purpose, gentlemen from Caldwell, Representative Hall, rise.
For a point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
Members, I want to wish Corey Bryson, who works in the Speaker's office, a very happy 32nd birthday. As you all know, he works very hard, not only for the Speaker, but literally for any member who comes to him to ask for help. He's one of the hardest working staffers in the building. Wish him a happy 32nd birthday.
Happy birthday. What purpose, gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman Rice.
For personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Y'all been putting up with me, soon be 10 years in October. I don't know if you know my wife, Tammy. Some of you do. She's my legislative assistant. Come this Sunday, she'll have been putting up with me for 45 years. And I certainly will be celebrating Sunday, our 45th anniversary, and I hope she will be too. I often tell her, I know the only reason she's put up with me for this long is because she's too stubborn to admit she made a mistake. But she is a wonderful lady, and I know she loves me because she does put up with me all this time. I don't know why, but I'm grateful to God that I have her. Love you, Tammy.
Congratulations.
The gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Majeed, is recognized to send forth a representative statement that will be read upon the adjournment, and the gentleman at this time has the floor to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honorable members of the House of Representatives, last week we lost one of America's most exceptional wartime correspondents and news columnists. I'm speaking of none other than Mr. Joe Galloway, who was a resident of Concord, North Carolina. He worked as a reporter for UPI during the Vietnam War, and he often worked alongside the American troops he covered and was awarded a Bronze Star Medal with V for heroism in 1998 for having carried a badly wounded man to safety while he was under heavy enemy fire. That was in 1965. From 2013 until his death, he worked as a special consultant for the project, Vietnam War 50th Anniversary Commemoration Project, run out of the Office of the Secretary of Defense, and has also served as consultant to the Ken Burns production of a documentary history of the Vietnam War broadcast in the fall of 2017 by PBS. He was a friend and confidant to numerous military generals, including General Colin Powell and General Jim Mattis. Along with Lieutenant General Harold Moore, he co-wrote a detailed account of his experience in the Vietnam War in his best-selling book that was in 1992, We Were Soldiers Once and Young. The movie We Were Soldiers, starring Mel Gibson, is based on his 1992 book. Actor Edward Burns portrayed him in the miniseries Vietnam, and Tommy Lee Jones played him in the 2017 movie Shock and Awe. Joe also narrated A Flag Between Two Families, a documentary film based on the events on May 9th, 1968 in Vietnam by the members of Charlie Company, 1st Battalion, 5th Cavalry. Joe interviewed me in a Vietnam War 50th Anniversary Commemoration Project that is archived in the Smithsonian Institute. Since that day, we became close personal friends, and he was a living legend and a very humble human being. He has been honored for his numerous literary contributions over his career. In 1991, Joe received the National Magazine Award for a U.S. News cover article on the La Drang battles in Vietnam. In 1992, he received the New Media Award of the National VFW for his coverage of the Persian Gulf War for U.S. News. In 2002, Joe received the Robert Denig Award for exceptional service to the U.S. Marine Corps Combat Correspondents Association. And in 2005, he received the Tex McRae Award from the Congressional Medal of Honor Society. We send our prayers and our condolences to his wife, Dr. Gracie Galloway, and his family at this time of great loss. In closing, Joe Galloway told the American soldier's story to the whole world. He did an excellent job. And now let's pray that he rests in God's eternal peace. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative McGee. For what purpose, the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Smith Rice?
For a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
I'd like to rise today to celebrate a man who needs no introduction. My seatmate, Reverend James David Galliard, and his wife are celebrating their first wedding anniversary. So, congratulations.
Congratulations. Members, Chair's going to speak to a point of personal privilege. This weekend, on two separate occasions, I had the chance to travel up to Haywood County to see the just unbelievable damage that was sustained up in the mountains with the flooding that happened associated with that tropical storm and then some other storms that rolled through right after. And to see that damage, there were, I believe, six folks who have lost their lives. The destruction in the community is a little town called Crusoe, which is a small community, kind of between Brevard and Canton, that was really just unbelievable damage, and was honored that a number of the members here who from the western part of the state were there. Representative Gillespie was there, of course, Representative Clampett, Representative Pless, and then Representative Dixon also came down to tour the damaged agriculture. Representative Johnson was there on a trip that we did a couple of days later to go back to some of the other areas of Transylvania County that we also went and visited to see the damage. And it's just unbelievable. I think Henderson County had a lot of agriculture damage. Transylvania had infrastructure. And then really Haywood kind of had everything. And so remember those folks in your thoughts and your prayers. But I did want to give a special shout out to Representative Pless. Many of you may have seen the picture that was going around on social media of him wearing what I guess looked like a hazmat suit, where he had literally gotten out there and was in the muck and cleaning up mud, and actually just wasn't doing it to get any attention at all. Just somebody captured a picture of him and posted it there. Just looked like you're more tired than working up here. So it's certainly a lot dirtier in the picture, I'll say that. But had really taken the time to go out and do that. But it's good to see our members do that. I know some other members have gone up also independently and looked around. But do remember those folks in your thought and prayers, and know that I think they know. I made sure they knew the message that those of us here in the legislature care, that we're here to help. And I know that they've got some work to do over the next few weeks and months. But like always in North Carolina, we'll get it done, and I think they know that the folks of us here at the legislature will have their backs any way we can. So just want to give you guys a shout, let you know your thoughts and prayers, but also special shout out to Mark Pless for really getting out there and doing that. That's an example of servant leadership, so thank you for what you did. For what purpose, the gentleman from Scotland, Representative Pierce Rice.
Inquiry with the chair. The
gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, you made a brief announcement about the conferees. Do you have a time period when that we might be called back? Do you have any idea on that? I know you're going talking about it, but do you have any idea, if you don't mind, Mr. Speaker?
Probably next week. Probably next week.
Thank you.
So, any further notices or announcements? Seeing none. Jim from Caldwell, Representative Hall. Before we do that, no votes tomorrow, of course, nothing Friday, no votes Monday, but we will likely have votes Tuesday and next week for your planning purposes. Now the gentleman is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, August 26th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Blackwell, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, August 26th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.
The region clerk is recognized to read several representative statements.
Representative statement honoring Joe Galloway. Whereas in the death of Joe Galloway, America has lost one of its most exceptional wartime correspondents and news columnists. And whereas Joe, a resident of Concord, North Carolina, worked as a reporter of UPI during the Vietnam War, and he often worked alongside American troops he covered. In 1998, he was awarded the Bronze Star Medal with the for heroism on carrying a badly wounded man safe while he was under heavy enemy fire in 1965. And whereas from 2013 until his death, he worked as a special consultant for Vietnam War 50th anniversary commemorating project run out of the Office of Secretary of Defense, served as a consultant in Ben Burns' production of a documentary history of Vietnam War broadcast in the fall of 2017 by PBS. And whereas Joe was a friend and confidant of numerous military generals, including General Colin Powell and General Jim Mattis. And whereas along with Lieutenant General Harold Moore, Joe wrote a detailed account of experience in Vietnam in best-selling book 1992, We Were Soldiers Once and Young. The movie, We Were Soldiers, starring Mel Gibson, was based on a 1992 book. Actor Edward Burns portrayed Joe in Minutes. Vietnam. Tommy Lee Jones played him in 2017 movie Shock and Awe. And whereas Joe also narrated Flight Between Two Families, documentary film based on the events of May 9th, 1968 in Vietnam, where members of Charlie Company, 1st Battalion, 5th Cavalry. And whereas Joe has been honored with his numerous literary contributions over his career. In 1991, Joe received a National Magazine Award for U.S. News covered article on the La Drag battles in Vietnam. In 1992, he received a News Media Award for National VFW for his coverage of the Persian Gulf War in U.S. News. In 2002, he received a Robert Denning Award for exceptional service from the U.S. Marine Corps Combat Correspondents Association, and in 2005 received the Tex McRae Award for Congressional Medal of Honor Society. Now, therefore, Joe Galloway deserves to be honored for his many contributions to the field of journalism, in witness whereof the undersigned certifies the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed before the Journal on the 25th day of August, 2021. Submitted by Representative Nassif Majid, James White, House Principal Clerk. A representative statement, Appalachian Society of American Foresters 100th Anniversary, whereas on October 28th and 29th, 1921, foresters made a Nashville, North Carolina to further the cause of forestry and the American fostering spirit of comradeship among foresters, creating opportunities for free interchange of views upon forestry and allied subjects, and disseminating a knowledge of the purpose of achieving a forest. And whereas since the conception of the Appalachian Society of American Foresters organization grown from charter members of 15 individuals to members across North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, with a membership as of January 2020 of more than 1,129 individuals. And whereas the Appalachian Society of American Foresters is comprised of a diverse group of foresters, registered foresters, forestry technicians, scientists, educators, students, and other natural resource practitioners. And whereas the forest sector played a key role in economy of North Carolina with roughly 18.1 million acres of timberland, which supports a robust forest products industry across the state. In 2018, the North Carolina forestry sector contributed over $33.6 billion supporting 150,400 jobs. And whereas through evidence-based research and education, members of the Appalachian Society of American Foresters play an important role in advanced sustaining management of forest resources through science, education, and technology, enhanced the competencies of its members, and established professional excellence and use their knowledge, skill, and conservation ethics to ensure the continued health, integrity, and use of forests to benefit the people of the United States in perpetuity. Now, therefore, it is important to recognize and commemorate October 28th and 29th, 2021 as the 100th anniversary of Appalachian Society of American Foresters and applaud the Appalachian Society of American Foresters for its present, past, and future efforts to champion principles established by its forestry predecessors more than 100 years ago. In witness, whereas the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed on the journal on 25th day of August, 2021, submitted by Representative Larry Strickland, James White, House Principal Clerk.
Representative Hannig and Watford are recognized to send forth a local government committee report, House Bill 853, Plan Review and Certificate of Occupational Scope Changes, Favorable Committee Substitute Number 3, Unfavorable Committee Substitute Number 2, and re-referred. Committee Substitute Number 2, Unfavorable Calendar, Committee Substitute Number 3 for House Bill 853 will be re-referred to the Committee on Appropriations.